The accounting firm of Haynes, Eisenberger, and Skiba presents the 26th College Football Hall of Fame season of Fighting Irish Preview. And now, the Guadalupe's Mexican Grill Food Made Fresh Kickoff with your host, Phil Houck.
Good morning, Mr. Freeman. Fresh off your conquest of the Clemson Tiger, your new mission, should you choose to accept it, is to navigate a three-week ordeal and defeat three enemies that possess pernicious intention toward the Fighting Irish goal of completing a turnaround to the 2022 season. These enemies, which you are being called upon to eradicate, are codenamed as follows. Week 1, Triple Option. Week 2, Djokovic. Week 3, SoCal. To assist you in this mission, the allegiance of three operatives has been secured. Each has a group of their own agents they command. The first operative, Tommy Reese, is known for his clever tactics and for his temper. His team on offense loves him, even though he's known to employ extreme verbal measures, sometimes on national TV, to keep his agents in line. Tommy has a stable of running backs and the world's greatest college tight end, Michael Mayer, at his disposal. The second operative, Al Golden, coordinates a group on defense particularly known for their harassment and sacking of opposing quarterbacks. The third operative, Brian Mason, has honed his group of agents on special teams to a razor's edge in the fine art of launching their bodies into the air and blocking punted footballs. Mr. Freeman, a few weeks ago, the mission you are now being asked to accept was considered to be, wait for it, impossible. Now, with the success of Operation Clemson Tiger, the new expectation is that the Irish can finish 9-3 and go to a nice bowl in a warm place. Phase 1 of your mission, Triple Option, commences this week with a battle against the nemesis known as Navy. Navy is not having a good season, but don't forget, neither was Stanford. Good luck, Mr. Freeman. A huge fan base is relying on you, and more importantly, I personally want to attend a bowl in a nice warm place this year. So get this mission done. This recording will self-destruct in 5 seconds and may mess up your hard drive.
Last week, the Irish took out Clemson with big plays on defense and special teams and a devastating ground game. This week, the Irish enter the home stretch of the season, and their three-week mission now is to finish strong and complete the turnaround of a season that once seemed lost. Guadalupe's Mexican Grill, located on Illinois Road, look for new Fort Wayne locations soon. Now, stay tuned for Fighting Irish Insight. From America's foremost authority on Notre Dame football, Tim Priester, senior editor of IrishIllustrated.com. After these words from Haynes, Eisenberger, and Skiba, Sheer McCulloch Auctioneers, and refreshing Coors Light, made to chill. This is Fighting Irish Preview.
The University of Notre Dame exemplifies dedication to hard work, integrity, and personal values, which result in success in the classroom and on the football field. The professionals at Haynes, Eisenberger, and Skiba, like Notre Dame, know the same dedication, and their experience and expertise provide peace of mind for you and your business. Tax planning, tax compliance, auditing, business valuation, and estate planning, the full-service accounting firm of Haynes, Eisenberger, and Skiba, like the Irish, has what it takes to help you achieve success. Located in Fort Wayne near Jefferson Point, Haynes, Eisenberger, and Skiba proudly supports Notre Dame football and congratulates all those who are a part of the greatest tradition in all of sports. Go Irish!
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Now back to Fighting Irish Preview with your host, Phil Houck.
Well, Tim Priester, where were you when that crowd, I know approximately where you were, but when that crowd stormed the field, and did you emerge unscathed?
I did emerge unscathed, but when you realize that the crowd is moving you and you have no control over it, that's when you get a little worried. But all things considered, it was a pretty tame environment. It certainly was a happy group of Notre Dame fans as they pushed us all around. But we're down on the field near the end of the game. And once once the decision is made by thousands to come onto the field, you're kind of at their mercy.
Well, it kind of seemed like pretty obvious that they were all coming, and I think the ushers knew it, we knew it. And so I had barricaded myself behind the camera platform that's right there in the end zone, knowing everybody have to go to either side of me. And then a minute or two later, as I'm looking around trying to find a spot to view the alma mater, which was completely disorganized, understandably, I came face to face with Marcus Freeman, who about 1 second after I saw him, before I could react or say anything or do anything, was caught by both arms, one arm on each side with his bodyguards, and hustled off the field and then over to the tunnel and off the field. So it was a crazy scene. It was a fun scene. And I want to talk a little bit more about that crowd. Tim, I thought it was as good as I'd seen the crowd in 20 years at least. What'd you think of that crowd?
Well, yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with that, Phil. And certainly, you know, leading 7-0 a good portion of the first half and 14-0 halftime. And it feels like it's more than that, because Clemson's not going to, the sense is that Clemson's not going to start a comeback against Notre Dame. Yeah, no doubt about it. I give a lot of the credit to Marcus Freeman, the staff, and the players for dictating how the fans reacted to it, because it was such a dominant physical performance from start to finish. There was really never any doubt who the better football team was. There certainly was no doubt who the more physical team was. And these are all things that, as we evaluated this game a week ago, I don't think that we felt, I certainly didn't feel real confident Notre Dame would be able to do that.
Well, Tim, you talked about and just now gave some credit to Marcus Freeman for how good that crowd was, and that's where I kind of want to go next. There's definitely some love for Marcus Freeman out there among that crowd, and do you think it can develop into something like there was for Lou Holtz, for Ara Parseghian, and how much credit do you give that for how crazy that crowd was? They really seemed happy that Notre Dame would win, and I think they wanted to win for Marcus Freeman.
Yeah, I don't know that there's ever – I mean, even Parseghian and Holtz, you know, when Parseghian came into Notre Dame, the Notre Dame fandom didn't know a whole lot about him other than he was the head coach at Northwestern and he kept beating Notre Dame. And Lou Holtz was already established. My point is that I don't think that there was a universal love for either one of those two guys initially, because they just didn't know, or they didn't have a feeling about him because of today's sporting world and social media and everything. We knew a lot about Marcus Freeman when he took over as head coach, and he's just been, from the very beginning, has been universally loved by Notre Dame fans. And I tell you what, if he keeps beating teams of Clemson's magnitude like that, it will continue. There are every coach goes through his ups and downs. I covered Lou Holtz, and he was certainly criticized even when he was winning all the time. But right now, especially after that win, Marcus Freeman is beloved across Notre Dame Nation.
Yeah, if Marcus Freeman keeps winning or has a career that's anywhere near what Lou Holtz or Ara Parseghian did, there will be buildings named after him, I assure you, on that campus. You know, let's talk a little more about the game itself. I thought the most remarkable part, and you already referenced this, the physicality of it, but was how the offensive line dominated that defensive front for Clemson, which was highly touted, NFL guys all across. And last week we talked about that possibility, and I asked you how good you thought this offensive line for Notre Dame was, and you said, well, I want to wait and see how they do against that defensive front for Clemson. Well, what do you think now about how good this offensive line is?
Pretty awesome, Phil. Pretty awesome. You know, I mean, Miles Murphy is a first-round draft choice. Brian Bresee is a first-round draft choice. Something's wrong with Bresee. I mean, I know that he dealt with some personal issues, some family issues, and he's been banged up. But Josh Lugg dominated him. And, you know, I think 3 or 4 weeks ago, Notre Dame fans would have happily replaced Josh Lugg at right guard. But he's a six-year senior, and they dominated. I don't think anybody could have anticipated that. Marcus Freeman said 263 yards rushing. He didn't anticipate that. I think we said last week that Notre Dame could have success running the football, but that it was relative based upon a number, because they were only giving up 87 yards per game on the ground. But it was Notre Dame tripled that, more than tripled that. And it's just a remarkable performance. And I think this offensive line absolutely has arrived.
Well, they have to become a contender for that Joe Moore Award, which is awarded to the top offensive line in the country now, based upon that performance and the performance leading up to the game. Tim, let's talk about Drew Prine's performance in the game. And, you know, 9 of 17, 85 yards, 1 TD. Obviously, that's not that great. 4 rushes, 21 yards. He got a touchdown. That's pretty good. No interceptions. That's good. But it looked like he just had a little more swagger to his step and the way he was performing. Do you think he, even though statistically it wasn't great, he built some confidence in this performance?
You know, I hope so, Phil, but I'm not sure about that. Certainly being the winning quarterback in a game of that magnitude at home against Clemson should be a significant boost for him, but it still comes down to, can he pass the football when everybody knows he's going to pass the football? We know that they can run when everybody knows they're going to run the football, but can he do that? And, you know, fortunately, this weekend's opponent is a good one to throw it against. Certainly, Notre Dame's going to rely on their ground game. But, you know, I mean, good for Drew Pine. Quietly, and I know that sometimes this number is portrayed accurately and inaccurately, but as a starter, he's 6-1, and he hasn't always been the central figure in those 6 victories. But certainly to be at the helm of the offense in a game like that should give him a boost.
Yeah, he definitely, the body language was looking good, so maybe trending up and maybe a chance this week to get that downfield passing game going a little bit. Tim, Tommy Rees always showing his creativity. What is the speed break huddle, and why do we like it so much more than the scan offense?
Well, only part of the offense huddles. They have the wideouts already in position so that when the play is called, it comes in from the sideline, the offensive line can and the backs can set, and the quarterback gets to the line. The wideouts are already out there, so they don't have to wait for them to align, and then they go. And I think this is more of, frankly, when the subject of scan offense was first brought up, Marcus Freeman said there were 4 different tempos to what they want to do, and one of those is to play fast, and they were able to do that on occasion against Clemson.
Well, it worked, and it just shows another level of creativity of Tommy Rees. All right, defensively, Benjamin Morrison, obviously, 2 interceptions, including the pick 6. What a game. But I was impressed as much as anything with how physical this 18-year-old played. Tim, talk about Ben Morrison, and feel free to use all the superlatives you want.
Well, he's an easy player to have a great appreciation for. You know, the first snap of the game, he takes on their tight end, kind of gets run over a little bit, but holds on. Now, this Ben Morrison is 179 pounds, and Davis Allen is 250 to 255 pounds. So he's giving away 70 to 75 pounds. He sticks his nose in there. You know, from the very beginning, he established that he had come to play both against the pass and the run. You know, he's longer than I think people realize. He's not, you know, doesn't weigh a whole lot, but he's in the 6'1 range, which is why he's a boundary corner and can match up against a bigger receiver. He's been really, really good. And he wasn't, you know, Jaden Mickey was the guy that came in early, came in for the spring and made an impact. And Morrison didn't come in till June, but right away the coaching staff knew that they had somebody special, somebody that's been very well coached. Somebody with a good idea of adjustments that are made on the defensive side of the ball. And, man, the college football world is being introduced to Benjamin Morrison.
Yeah, they sure were last week. And 7 tackles really showed no fear. That was the second leading total on the team in tackles. And you mentioned how prepared he was when he came in. And that got me thinking about another guy who came in really prepared, Joe Alt. And what do those two guys have in common, Tim? They both have NFL bloodlines. How much of a factor do you think that might be?
Well, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. In the case of those two guys, it definitely is. I've talked to John Alt at length about Joe and, you know, how he's brought him up to be a left tackle that plays in the NFL. And so Joe arrived at Notre Dame with that in mind, and Benjamin Morrison's dad played in the NFL as well. And, you know, I mean, sometimes it has an impact, sometimes it doesn't. It takes a good relationship, certainly, because a lot of times the younger person in the family doesn't want to listen to what the older person in family says. But in this instance, they do a great job of listening to their dads, and it's definitely influenced them to come to the college level and be prepared to play. And that's even more impressive with a guy like Joe Hall, because true freshman left offensive tackles that are good right from the beginning don't come along very often.
Not very often at all. I think the passing on that of the elite knowledge that those guys have, I mean, the genetics helps too, but the elite knowledge that those guys have that very few people in the world have, that they can instill in their sons at a very young age, really gives them an advantage. Tim, just as impactful, I thought, on the game, was J.D. Bertrand, 12 tackles, 2 for loss, and a sack. Tim, he is around every single play. Even if he doesn't make the tackle, he is right there. How good is J.D. Bertrand? And is there another player that, from Notre Dame history, you might compare him to?
You have somebody in mind. That's not coming. Well, are you thinking Joe Schmidt from that standpoint? I'm not sure. But J.D. Bertrand is one of the most underrated, undervalued players that I've covered in 41 years. I'm pretty astonished at the reaction of fans that think that he's not very good. Now, I will admit that last season, he had difficulty in space. Well, that was because he was being asked to play the Will linebacker position, which is not what he is. He's a Mike linebacker, and he needs to be more centrally located. But I think he's been absolutely astounding, particularly the last 5 games. And he's the leader of the defense. He's the brain trust of the defense. He gets everybody lined up. And oh, by the way, he's got another year of eligibility. I'm pretty excited about him coming back in 2023.
Yeah, and I was thinking about somebody to compare him to, and the name that came to mind, and there's differences, but just the attitude and the ability to always be around the ball, he reminds me of Drew Tranquil. And that's a skill. I'm sure you could break that down and tell me why he's not like Tranquil, but I think Bertrand may have a future because he's been spectacular.
Bill, I think they're both extremely intelligent football players that know how to study for an upcoming opponent. So when they get on the field, they see signs, they see tells, they see tendencies, and they're able to react. I think absolutely those two share that in common.
No doubt. And just preparation for the game in general, they're known for that, both of them. Tim, another week, another block pumped. 6 in the season now, an all-time Notre Dame record. Tim, I was blown away by the stat when Notre Dame had 2 for the season and then 3 and on and on and on. This time, Jordan Botelho got it. Botelho is a bit of an enigma off the chart skills, yet he struggles to get on the field. What is Jordan Botelho's story?
I think it's just discipline, being the disciplined football player that he needs to be. That's J.D. Bertrand in every aspect. On the field, Jordan Botelho just wants to hit somebody, and that's a great trait to have. That's certainly very, very important, but sometimes you have to temper in lieu of being in a better position and not overreacting to certain tells, as I referred to with Bertrand. Jordan Botelho is really, really high strung, and sometimes he has a little bit of difficulty keeping that in check.
Well, that makes him ideal, I suppose, for special teams, and he made a great play last Saturday. Tim, the Irish chuck in at number 20 in the CFP, and 3 weeks to improve that position. So it's bowl game talk is in the air. Is there any shot at a New Year's Six bowl? And if not, what now is the betting favorite for where the Irish are likely to go?
I don't think so. And anything that I'm going to say here, Pete Sampson, who used to be a partner of ours with Irish Illustrated, is now on our Irish Illustrated Insider podcast as a member of the Athletic. So I'm giving him all the credit here, but it looks like right now there are 4 bowls, whether Notre Dame's 8-4 or 9-3, that probably isn't going to make a whole lot of difference. But to be succinct, the Gator Bowl against the SEC opponent, the ReliaQuest Bowl, which is the old Outback Bowl in Tampa, that would also be against the SEC team. The Cheez-It Bowl, which is the old Camping World Bowl in Orlando, that would be against the Big 12. And then there's a Holiday Bowl in San Diego, which would be against a Pac-12 opponent.
Well, I'll be happy just as long as the place has a good airport and it's warm there. So any of those places would qualify. Tim, one last question. This one's about Navy before we go into more depth in the next segment. How much experience does the Notre Dame staff have in coaching against the option? Of course, Marcus Freeman coached against it last year. But how much experience does Al Golden have?
Al Golden has a lot because when he was a head coach at Temple, he played Navy 4 times and Army once. Then he moved on to Miami and played Georgia Tech 5 times. Now, hasn't always been great. There was a 420-yard output there by Navy when he was at Temple. There had been some games. They also held Georgia Tech, I think, in his first year as head coach of Miami to under 130 yards. But you combine, you know, his knowledge with it, and Marcus Freeman's done really, really well. They did great against Navy last year, holding them to 11 first downs and two field goals. So I think they have enough brain trust there to figure this out. And it's not – Navy is, you know, it's still a tricky offense to deal with, but Navy is not the Navy that we saw from a few years past.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tim. Coming up, it's the all-time Irish hero, key to an Irish victory, injury report, and the world-famous Irish Illustrated prediction. And during the break, it's the Fighting Irish Fact of the Week, brought to you by Ron Wise and the Wise Insurance Agency. This is the 379th edition of Fighting Irish Preview.
This is Art Salzberg. I don't speak for a lot of companies, but Shearer McCulloch is a firm that provides a great and much-needed service. As Sharon and I get older, we've been thinking of moving, but frankly, the thought is somewhat overwhelming. That's where Shearer McCulloch comes in with a full-service plan that takes the pressure off. Listen to this. Shearer McCulloch will sell your house, auction the items you don't want to take, then pack everything else and move you. In sports terms, that's a blowout win. Shearer McCulloch uses an international auction platform to make sure your possessions are seen by the right buyers. They'll get top dollar for your special treasures. Shearer McCulloch is highly recommended by leading retirement communities and law firms, plus their AAA with the Better Business Bureau. Call them at 441-8636. That's 441-8636. They'll make your moving experience easy and profitable. Shearer McCulloch.
The Fighting Irish Fact of the Week is brought to you by our friends at the Wise Insurance Agency. Since 1996, Notre Dame is 104-10 in games it rushes for 200 or more yards. This season, they've gone over 200 yards five times, all wins. Call Ron Wise at the Wise Insurance Agency or go to thewiseinsuranceagency.com and get an auto or home quote in less than 5 minutes.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. Take the afternoon off and binge watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Now back to Fighting Irish Preview with your host, Phil Houck.
This is Fighting Irish Preview. The Irish take on the Naval Academy in Baltimore this week. TV coverage on ABC starts at noon, South Bend time. And it's now time for the all-time Irish hero, brought to you by the Marina at Lake Gage. Chriscraft, Mastercraft, and Premier Pontoons. New and previously owned, we share your boating passion. And this year we're focusing on the Fighting Irish quarterback since 1988. So far, Tony Rice, Rick Meyer, Kevin McDougall, Ron Paulus, Jarius Jackson, Brady Quinn, Jimmy Clausen, Tommy Reese, Everett Golson, and this week, DeShone Kizer. DeShone Kizer was a three-sport star in high school. He was a starter at Central Catholic High School in Toledo, Ohio, in basketball, and batted cleanup on the baseball team. But on the football field, he really made his mark. He was rated as the ninth best dual-threat quarterback in the nation in 2014 after throwing and rushing for 73 touchdowns as a three-year starter. The 6'4", 235-pound Kizer redshirted as a freshman and then started 2015 as the backup to Malik Zaire. Zaire went down with an injury in the second game of the season against Virginia. Kizer took over in the fourth quarter and in storybook fashion rallied the Irish to come from behind when he hit Will Fuller from 39 yards out with just 12 seconds on the clock. Kizer went on to lead the Irish to a 10-3 record that year, with 2,900 yards passing, 21 TD passes, and another 520 yards and 10 scores on the ground. In 2016, he posted another outstanding statistical year after fighting off a quarterback controversy with the returning Zaire. He had 32 touchdown passes, threw for 2,900 yards, and had 8 TDs and 541 yards on the ground. Unfortunately, the bottom line in 2016 was a 4-8 disaster for the Irish in the win-loss column. Kizer declared early for the NFL draft and went in the second round to the Cleveland Browns and then spent time with the Packers, Raiders, and Titans. Tim, strong-armed, accurate passer, only a two-year playing career at ND, but he did leave his mark on the ND record books in many categories.
Well, he certainly did, and the clutch performance at Virginia when Malik Zaire went down, I tell you what, it helped having the fastest guy in the stadium in Will Fuller, but he put it right there to win the game. And so, you know, I didn't really know what to expect about DeShone Kizer when he came into the lineup. I thought he, you know, although his numbers were better in 2016 than 2015, I thought he was a better quarterback in 2015, but 32 touchdowns in 2016 when Notre Dame really struggled. He didn't hit it big in the NFL, but Phil, as you know, financially, he came out pretty well in that deal.
Yeah, it's good to be a backup quarterback for a few years in the NFL, that's for sure. Easy on the body and good on the pocketbook. Ranked in the top five of 20 game, season, or career quarterback Notre Dame records, DeShone Kizer, another Marina at Lake Gage all-time Irish hero. The Marina at Lake Gage, we love boats, and it's now time for the Aspen Mortgage Key to an Irish victory. Navy is 3-6. They lost to Cincinnati last week, 20-10. Last year, the Irish prevailed over Navy 34-6. In typical fashion, Navy averages 236 yards rushing per game, which ranks 9th in the nation, but they also average just 12 passes a game and 99.4 yards through the air, ranking them 129th. Junior quarterback Ty Labatai went down with a season-ending injury 2 weeks ago, and in the seven quarters since, Navy has thrown just 6 passes, 5 of them by senior Massey Maynor and 1 by junior Xavier Arline. The leaders of the Navy ground game include fullback Dabba Fafana with 502 yards and 5 touchdowns and Maquel Haywood, 408 yards and a 6.4 yards per carry average. And whoever is playing quarterback, the combined yardage gained of Navy's 3 quarterbacks to this point who have played is an even 500 yards. Of their 2 active quarterbacks, it would appear that Maynor is more effective as a passer and Arlen as a runner. The Middies' leading receiver is Jaden Umbarger, a 6-foot junior with 16 catches and 2 touchdowns. Defensively, the midshipmen have put up good numbers against the run and not so good numbers against the pass. 7th nationally in rushing defense, 114th against the pass. The best rushing numbers on the year against Navy have been put up by Air Force, 200 yards, and Houston, 180 yards. On the other extreme, Delaware rushed for just 13 yards, Temple 20, and Tulsa 25. Navy's leading tackler and most effective defensive weapon is linebacker John Marshall. Marshall has totaled 72 stops on the season and 5 sacks. Navy has been able to hold points allowed down to 24.8 per game by controlling time of possession and limiting their opponent's possessions, a formula that Notre Dame fans should be familiar with from past experience. Last week, Cincinnati had just 8 possessions in the entire game. On special teams, Navy is solid across the board, and they are the least penalized team in the nation. Tim Priester, what is the Aspen Mortgage key to an Irish victory?
Phil, you're making all these tempo references, and that's where I'm going. I think Notre Dame has to dictate the tempo. If that means play fast, play a little bit faster. Certainly getting off to a fast start and getting a lead is critical against Navy. If you put Navy in somewhat of a hurry-up mode to score, that's not what they want to do. So I say Notre Dame needs to control the tempo, control the ball, play fast. Notre Dame needs to dictate the tempo of this football game.
Okay, play fast. Get it off to a fast start. That would also be helpful. That is Tim Priester's Aspen Mortgage key to an Irish victory. And Tim Priester, who is this week's Aspen Mortgage key player for the Irish?
You know, every week I'm looking for somebody different, and I always pass over the guy that I already talked about and praise. J.D. Bertrand, if anybody, is going to be dialed in to what Navy is trying to do offensively. I'm going with J.D. Bertrand.
Yeah, J.D. Bertrand will keep that defense on the correct page if he does anything like he has all season long. And he is your Aspen Mortgage key Irish player this week. Aspen Mortgage, for all your mortgage needs, call 486-LOAN. And it's now time for the Injury Report, brought to you by Indiana Physical Therapy. Your choice for physical therapy, now with 22 Indiana locations. Tim, how are the Irish health-wise going into Game 10?
Well, they're probably going to be without safety Brandon Joseph, and the safety position in general is it's not necessarily a strength for Notre Dame, and Joseph has been a constant this season since coming over from Northwestern. He's the only really major injury that we're aware of. He's listed doubtful, and I'm very doubtful that he plays. Joe Wilkins, Notre Dame receiver, who has been on the kick return team, he decided to put his name in the portal and move on from Notre Dame. It was a physical game against Clemson, but I think all things considered, they came out of that in pretty good shape.
Yeah, well, another good report for the Irish. Keep your fingers crossed. Thanks, Tim. That is the Indiana Physical Therapy Injury Report, and it's now time for the world-famous Irish Illustrated Prediction, brought to you by SES Environmental. Need help navigating environmental risk and with regulatory compliance? You need SES. Look them up at sesadvantage.com. Tim Priester, Vegas says the Irish, at last time I checked, 15.5. What does America's foremost authority say?
Ty Labatai, their starting quarterback, started against Notre Dame last year. He got banged up. They brought in Xavier Arline. Xavier Arline now will once again relieve Labatai. You mentioned Mayor, the backup, the third string quarterback who can throw it a little bit. So, you know, Arline is very small, very quick. It's a little bit different approach against him, but Marcus Freeman showed last year and really, really shutting down the Navy offense that, you know, he knows what he wants to do, how he wants to attack it. He's combined heads with Al Golden. So I think the defense will pick up where they left off. You know, most of Notre Dame starters are familiar with playing against triple option football. So I think they'll do a good job. And then again, getting back to the tempo of the game, I think Notre Dame is going to be able to run it and pass it pretty much whenever they want. Navy's done a good job of keeping the points down, but not against the better teams they've played, like Houston and SMU and Memphis. So I have a 31-13 score in favor of Notre Dame.
ND 31, Navy 13. That is Tim Priester's world-famous Irish Illustrated prediction. I'm looking at this and saying, you know, Notre Dame's got to guard against the impact of that inevitable post-Clemson letdown. But this is not a vintage Navy team, as you've said. And I think Michael Mayer should thrive in this game against that pass defense. I'm going to take the Irish 34, Navy 14. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Phil.
Go Irish, and thanks for listening to Fighting Irish Preview. Special thanks to Jim Shovelin, Brett Rump, Art Salzberg, and studio producer Adam Schenkel. For more Fighting Irish Preview, check out FightingIrishPreview.com and also listen to and subscribe to our podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Fighting Irish Preview is the copyrighted property of Judge Phil Productions.